This is the Vaser Update for September 11th, 2016. I'm Filippo D'Onofrio.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
And I'm Chris Sologi.
Yeah, this week some stuff happened.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Sony had their big announcement. You know, they announced that whole PlayStation Pro thing that people are somewhat sort of not really excited about for some reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder why that is. Yeah, we'll talk about that in a bit. But before we do that, I just want to get the Nintendo / Apple thing out of the way right now. Because, yeah, we knew this was going to be happening. The DNA deal happened a while back, and we're starting to see the fruits of that. So they announced Super Mario Run for the iPhone. Yeah, it's an endless runner with Mario. It's made by DNA.
I don't think it's an endless runner. I think it's sort of an auto runner. It's supposed to have like set stages. I think kind of like BitTrip Runner.
Yeah.
With less of a focus on the music.
Hmm.
Probably hear a lot of wah-wahs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Still, I mean, it's the kind of game that I think would work well on a phone because it's already been done. It's just being done with a Nintendo flavor.
Yeah.
But to kind of promote that, we had a very jet-lagged Shigeru Miyamoto showing up on stage, fumbling over his English introduction. So that was a thing that happened. He quickly handed over to the interpreter because I don't think he wanted to do that whole presentation in English because obviously it's not his forte.
Nope.
But yeah, so we're starting to see some of that Nintendo DNA thing. What do you think so far after Miitomo and now this? Come on, Brian.
Chris, you go ahead.
It's interesting that they're going to actually charge money for it. They're taking that brave step.
Yeah, you're charging money for a game? I don't know. I don't think that could work, really. Yeah, not doing the freemium model, so that's going to be a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm surprised it's something people haven't already done. Well, I mean, I'm sure they've already tried to rip Nintendo off by doing a pseudo Mario.
I think the Rayman games are kind of like what they're supposed to be doing with this.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's Nintendo trying to stay relevant. And if Pokemon Go is any indication, you know, going mobile is definitely a good thing for them.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, along with the Super Mario Run announcement, Niantic announced Pokemon Go for the Apple Watch. So if you happen to have one of those, you don't really need to buy the Pokemon Plus band. You just get it on your watch. So instead of spending $30 on the band, you can spend $300 on the watch. And,
all 10 of you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess those things still exist.
Yeah, yeah, they announced new ones. And yeah, but this is not really an Apple show, so.
No.
I just found it kind of interesting to see Shigeru Miyamoto there, even though he kind of didn't look like he should have been there. Or at least if they had brought him in, they probably should have brought him in a day earlier so he could have at least recovered a little from that jet lag. But yeah. So yeah. So what have you guys been playing this week?
I know you've been playing Brutal.
Oh yeah, I've still been playing Brutal, and I still keep getting killed by asshole rooms.
Yeah,
those are fun. Sooner or later, I'll get through level 6, and then probably die immediately at level 7. But yeah, it's a fun game. I'm going for trophies now, trying to get all the enchantments and all the letters. But I don't know how far along you have to get to actually get all of the letters. So
probably pretty far.
Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, I've only been down to level 6, and I've had about 20 of the 26, so it might be random. But either way.
Do you end up getting to those floors where there's just every room is a jerk room?
Oh.
It's like, here's your poison room, here's your fire room.
Yeah. Yeah, here's a bunch of sorceresses that are blowing the crap out of you. Yeah, that's real
nice. Thought you had a ton of potions, but now you're just using them constantly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and you're hungry. Yeah, real great. Yeah. But I still enjoy it. I kind of wish the potions and the weapon switches could buffer. Because, yeah, you have to, like, not be moving to switch weapons, which is kind of annoying. But, yeah, brutal. It's still fun.
Mm-hmm.
You should play it if you haven't already.
All right. I have been playing... Well, I say I have been playing. I finished Tales of Exilia last night.
Oh, nice.
So, oh, yeah. Yeah, it was a great game. And despite the fact that it was apparently rushed to coincide with the franchise's anniversary, mm-hmm. They still managed to put out something pretty solid.
Yeah.
So, and story-wise, it's pretty good, too. But, I mean, it's a Tales game, so... Yeah, there's that, so I'm probably going to, probably in the next couple of days, going to go out to GameStop and get the sequel.
Oh, nice. Just jumping right into it.
Yeah. So I did that, and I'm also, well, I went and, because speaking of GameStop, I put my pre-order down for The Last Guardian, and with that came into mind, I decided to pull out my old Team Eco collection from, you know, the
PS2 days, yeah.
No, the PS3. Oh. Yes, the one that has both Eco and Shadow of the Colossus. And so I've been playing Shadow of the Colossus again. Because why not?
Yeah.
It's one of those games, it's just like, you know, have a bad day, just play Shadow of the Colossus. You'll feel better.
Yeah.
It's one of those few remaster collections that actually have a bunch of like behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. How did the remastering go on the PS3? Did it work out pretty well?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I mean it's as far as like, you know, updating and doing stuff like that for an old PS2 or a couple of old PS2 games, they did really well.
Yeah.
Shadow of the Colossus, it's still you can still kind of tell that it was originally a PS2 game.
Yeah.
But it still looks pretty amazing.
Hmm.
Yeah, it was a game that punched above its weight. It ran like it did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so I'm guessing the extra power of the PS3 probably helps with that frame rate.
Yeah. On top of that, the animation is also a lot smoother.
Yeah.
Which is both a good and bad thing, because although the animation is in fact smoother and better, it also makes it easier to see sort of the animation shortcuts they tried to make in the original.
Yeah.
So like, you know, Wander's infamous run cycle where he kind of, you know, I think it was like Dan from Game Grumps said it best, where he's like, you know, there's this thing where you're like really powerful scene where you're like standing in front of that altar where your dead girlfriend is, and then you just run off, and you're like, "Whee!"
Yeah.
And your horse just comes running into the scene.
Yeah.
For no apparent reason.
Hey, you miss me?
You're going to. As soon as you get to that last Colossus. But, yeah, that's what I've been doing. So, Chris, what about you?
So, still playing Rocket League, managed to get at least a second crate to drop, so I did a video, that'll be going up on the site a little bit, later today. The crates, they do, an interesting, like, crate animation. They don't really have it open like a crate, it's more like a Price is Right wheel.
Yeah.
Where it just goes, scrolls, vertically.
Hmm.
It's like, what are you going to get? Let's see. 5 cents.
Dope.
I managed to get, let's see, one new animated skin for the one of the cars. And the other one, I got like a lightning wheel.
Hmm.
A set of wheels that have like little electricity, lightning sort of shooting around it, which looks pretty cool. It had a lot of cool like new skins that are exclusive to those crates.
Yeah.
The prices are pretty decent. I think it's $1.49 for one. And the bundles for $5, $10, or $20 are just $1 each.
Hmm.
So it's 5, 10, 20. Which I was surprised they just go flat right after that. So it means if I'm going to buy keys for those chests, I'm just going to buy the 5. Because then it'll be 1 or 2 cents cheaper than the others.
Yeah.
Just get those extra cents building up. Also managed to get some time in the Xbox One version, which was pretty much ran fine. A lot of people having frame rate issues, and I think they're working on getting a patch out pretty quickly.
Mm.
Yeah.
To get that going. Still playing Picross 3D Round 2. One of the things I like about this one that they've taken from the Picross E games is that they have this like combined bigger puzzle that you're then breaking down into these smaller puzzles that will combine into some bigger structure. Because all the puzzles here are when they sort of show you the final product, it's put together as like a wooden toy or figure sort of thing. So it's kind of neat they do this little like toy set, like structure thing for some of these bigger puzzles that is pretty well done. Yeah, still got, I'm not sure, I should be getting near the end at this point. I think I'm in like the 180s as far as puzzle numbers.
Oof.
And yeah, it's still keep me going. Keep wanting to open up the 3DS and just play a couple more puzzles and keep it going until I can hopefully find an end.
Yeah.
Then I have to figure out if I'm supposed to get beat every puzzle on hard and maybe there's some other unlockables in there. Mm. So I have to look up on GameFAQs later on to see what's going on there.
Yeah.
As far as new things, I played the NBA 2K17 The Prelude, which is a demo slash like mini game where it lets you play the beginning of the story mode.
Yeah.
Which is real weird. It's not as weird as the Spike Lee stuff where you got ghosts making speeches and stuff like that. Mm. Here you are the promising high school star, which they have some like TV sports guy immediately start calling you the president of basketball. So they just call you, your nickname is Prez for the rest of it.
Great.
And then I guess I didn't do as well as he wanted. He's like, maybe we should impeach the president. I was like, wait, what? I was like, oh, they're talking about me. Okay. Yeah. I had forgotten about, like, why are they talking about the president?
Hmm.
And then there's some actual like school stuff, like as far as cutscenes. You're playing video games with the point guard on the team. Hmm. I chose Michigan State, which obviously has one of the more well-known college coaches in the whole country. And he's immediately replaced by an actor named Matt Walsh.
Hmm.
If you've seen Parks and Rec, Community, a bunch of others, he's probably one of those. He's like a UCB guy who's in Reno 911, stuff like that.
Okay.
I'll post a wiki picture of him. Okay. You'll immediately recognize him.
Hmm.
Where's the chat button here? Okay, there we go. And so immediately you see him, like, holy crap, it's that guy. I've seen
it. That guy is in everything.
Yes. I was like, you're not Tom Izzo. I think he's just your generic coach. And has like a big bushy mustache as well. It's like, okay, this.
Yeah.
They have a big intro with Michael B. Jordan and Kobe Bryant doing some, I don't know, weird stuff. It's like they're doing like cyber replays of Kobe's career.
Yeah.
Like there's just like video feeds like showing all over the place on this court. It's really weird stuff. But when you beat, it's like five games.
Okay.
4 or 5 games you play. Then if you get to the end, they give you like a little secret extra game where you play with the men's U.S. team in Rio.
Okay.
Against Australia.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. I ended up doing that well to get to that and got like eight points, something like that. Not much. Ended up killing Australia, which was not how it went in real life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was like 98, 88 or something like that, pretty close.
Mm.
So it was interesting to see them put that in there. I'd be curious to see if that stuff shows up in the actual rest of the career mode, as far as like every 4 years you get a potential to go into the
Olympics,
Olympic team. Yeah, it plays pretty well. The story's just not really necessary.
Everybody's doing the story mode for sports games nowadays, though.
Yeah, 2K's not really that good at it.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, here's your character kind of nodding off in class, but still doing well. And then this random girl from the class checks in on it. She's part of his like group project.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I'm going to upload my part to the cloud so you can download it. It's like weird. And then once you beat the rest of the games for the college stuff, and you find your guy and her sitting on a car staring at the stars. Like, okay, these two just decided to go out somehow.
Mm.
No real development. One of the best things I saw is they're playing games. Him and the point guard are playing games of, I guess, NBA 2K. And the controllers are real fucked up. They look like a DualShock 4, kind of. Actually looks like the controllers that have like the air control, the air conditioning in it.
Yeah.
And then like instead of the right stick, it looks like a touch pad or something like that. Like whatever Valve is doing.
Yeah.
And theirs, it's like, that doesn't look like a real controller. Besides it looking like a PS2 controller.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was pretty good. It's free. They have actual achievements and trophies in it. It's pretty easy.
Hmm.
You just play through all the games. I think play one of the tutorial games. They have like this 2KU, which is just has you play like a 10-minute game of like pick up basketball and just constantly stops you and says, hey, if you want to pass, press X. The shooting is actually a little bit better. They have this nice little meter on the bottom, like under the player, where they have like other information like stamina and that. And it makes it a lot easier to tell when you hit the top of your jump, as far as like when to know to release. So it's actually pretty good in that sense of making it a lot easier to understand. Okay, that's the top of the release. Yeah, it's free. Everybody should play it. Especially since you can sort of continue on with that in the full game.
Yeah.
And save yourself some time.
Yeah.
Mm. Instead of playing this kind of boring college stuff, you can just go straight to should be the pre-draft stuff. I think it starts with, and if you pre-order, you get to start playing on Friday, which seems to be a more common thing some publishers are doing. You pre-order and you get to start early.
Hmm.
And yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So that as you were mentioning, that game, I think, does come out this week.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, Tuesday.
Tuesday. Mm, you can get that. Any of you getting it? Are you going to be buying it, Chris?
No.
No. not that.
It's like, oh, there's easy achievements here.
Yeah. It's like, oh, I'll just take those. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. So along with that, this week we also have NHL 17, which I know Pat will be buying.
Yep.
Recore coming out, which I don't know. You might
with no fanfare.
No fanfare. Well, I mean,
no,
it's like
marketing. Just this little spot on the dashboard is like, hey, it's $40.
Yeah.
Pre-order, please.
Cross your fingers, hope it's good, because you know Inafune totally needs a solid right now.
Yeah, he hasn't had a very good year so far. So yeah. Plus, also on Tuesday is BioShock the Collection, so 3 games, $60. If you've not played BioShock 1, what's wrong with you?
Mm.
So, yeah, get the remaster.
So it's BioShock and BioShock 2 as well?
Yeah, BioShock, BioShock 2, and BioShock Infinite.
Nice.
Yeah. All three.
And I think if you got them on Steam already, I think it updates for the first two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the third one
Infinite,
doesn't
they're
hit.
Just like, that's good enough.
Yeah.
So does it also come with the DLC?
Yeah, it does. All of the DLC. BioShock 2 does not come with multiplayer, which is not a bug. That's actually
that's
a good thing. Mm-hmm. Does not need the multiplayer. Also comes with a museum of lost concepts and stuff and challenge rooms and lots of good extra content
and some Ken Levine stuff in there too.
Ken Levine audio commentaries. So those ought to be fun to go through. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. My PS4 will probably be preloading that in the next few hours. So
yep,
yeah. I don't know when it actually checks for it. So if the bandwidth for the show just goes to hell, well, you know why.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you can probably initiate it now if you want.
Yeah,
whenever you want.
I'll just wait till after the show and then get it done. Yeah, and on Thursday, I believe. Yeah, Thursday. We got the PS2. Well, no, this is not 2004. Sorry.
No.
The PS4 Slim announced, officially last Wednesday. It's coming out for $299. It looks like a triple layer cake. It's kind of fugly.
Pro.
Well, don't they both have that same kind of styling?
Kind of, but it's two parts on the regular one.
So it looks like a dual layer cake. Yeah,
it looks like a dual Apple TV.
Yeah, I'm not thrilled by that new styling.
You take your roller, you stretch it out a little bit, and then you put another one on top.
Yeah, and then you got the Pro. Yeah. So if you haven't bought a PS4, well, probably a better idea to just get the Slim, since it's going to have all of the...
Especially since they're doing some bundles already with Uncharted 4.
Also because it doesn't... Also because it doesn't fucking time.
Yeah. Nice and small, nice and light, you know.
Yeah.
Should be pretty good.
Yeah, I think I saw that Best Buy actually has a crazy bundle already. You get Uncharted 4 and the new Platinum PlayStation headset. It's like $160 for free.
Damn. Mm. That would be the way to go, I think, if you're going to pick one up.
And if you got a Best Buy, go grab that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff. All right, so I guess we'll move on to our discussion topics of the week. Many, many years ago, while Gran Turismo was a big thing, there was an N64 game that was in development called Rev Limit. People who were on the N64 were very, very much looking forward to it, and then it disappeared. Well, a development cartridge has kind of been found for this. And there's some video footage. And, had this game come out, it actually probably would have been pretty good. If you guys have had a look at this yet?
I guess I saw some screenshots.
Yeah.
Well, there's a couple of things. First of all, the frame rate is actually really good. For an N64 game, it's pretty damn fast and pretty smooth. There's also a nice bit of draw distance, which on the N64, that didn't really happen very often. You could actually see ahead of you in this game. So, it looked like it could have been something pretty nice if it had ever been finished.
They could have made it a more stylistic choice, like you're racing in the fog.
Yeah, but every other racing game
on the N64 did that. Hoping to hit those monsters in the mist.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, I really like that we're finding all of this stuff now.
Yeah.
I don't know if... I didn't put it on the show notes, but... What was on that 64DD disc that Metal Jesus had was found out.
Yeah.
It was a development tool, so no lost game there. But, it was still kind of interesting to see how all of that went down.
Hmm.
Yeah. He also ended up with three other discs from a collector in Seattle, and they were all blank. So either they had never been used, or what was on them had kind of been magnetically erased or something, because there wasn't anything on there. So that's unfortunate. But, as far as preservation goes, I'm really cool for that. The other thing about the 64DD is the firmware has now been dumped, so emulators can now write to it.
Yep.
So that's going to be interesting to see what the homebrew crowd will do with the DD.
Oh, yeah.
Cool stuff.
Oh, so we got some sad news. We're both Kickstarter backers of Bloodstained.
Yeah.
And now we're not going to play it for another year and a half.
No, but, you know, to be honest, at least here there's a big difference here is that, first of all, there has been a playable demo of this for a while.
Yeah.
This isn't like a Mighty Number 9 situation where we're basically going on hearsay.
Yeah.
And also it means that they're not willing to rush this thing. So yeah. Is it disappointing? It is, but you know, if they believe that they want this game needs a lot more time to work on, you know, I can understand.
Yeah, I can totally understand too. I mean, I played that demo and it was really good.
Yeah.
I mean, that level of quality, I think, you know, if it had come out like that, it probably would have been pretty darn good. But if Igarashi doesn't want to, you know, limit himself to that and actually wants to, you know, polish it even more and make sure that what comes out is what he really wants, then I'm all for that.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I'm not going to play it for another year and a half.
Mm.
Unfortunate, but hey, our copies are both paid for, so, you know, when the game does come out, we'll just get it. So, cool stuff. So, Chris, the Rocket League update came out. You want to tell us about that?
Yeah, so this is a big update. They've done these, like, maybe every quarter.
Yeah.
Just added a bunch of stuff. Obviously, the Rumble mode, I mentioned that on last weekend, sort of. So it's just a big ball of chaos, like a crazy Mario Kart match.
Yeah, this is the one where, like, basically every 10 seconds you get a power-up, and
yeah, every time you use a power-up, you get 10-second cooldown until the next one just randomly appears, and it's just chaotic mess of freezing the ball, countering that, and then countering that, and then countering that, then magically the ball just goes flying into somebody's goal.
Yeah.
Just craziness, and it's the thing that makes that really fun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I watched some matches of that on YouTube, and yeah, it just looks hilarious.
Yeah, it's one of those you're just laughing at everything that happens.
Yeah.
And amazing, some people are still butthurt when they start losing, just quit out.
Yeah.
Try to get new matches, and it's like,
come on, guys. I mean, really.
It's only 5 minutes, and just enjoy the craziness.
Yeah.
The other thing they added is crates, sort of to help fund the future Rocket League Championship Series events and such, and the prize pools. They added these crates. They'll have, like, special items to them that are going to be exclusive to the people that want to spend on that stuff. It drops randomly, just like loot, so you're not necessarily going to get constantly barraged with them, which is why it took me probably, like, 20 matches to get two of them to drop, so I could do a video at least.
Yeah.
You pay for keys to unlock them. If you don't want to do any of that stuff, there's options in the settings to just turn it all off. And I'll just hide all that stuff from you. And they have, like, exclusive versions of cars that are all the same hitboxes and such. But it's just, like, a cool new look.
Yeah.
They show some of that stuff up on this this site. And some of the special new, like, Diablo-style ranks they've added for these crate things. So it's, like, rare, very rare, import, exotic, and black market. They show black market is, like, a car with a sheet over it. It's like, oh, you don't know what you're going to get here.
But it's going to be good.
Yeah. Just got to pay for it.
Yeah.
Along with that, they added player-to-player trading. So you can trade your duplicates or stuff you don't want with friends. Whatnot. It seems like it's pretty much just like Steam trading, where you invite somebody to trade and then just add what you want to get rid of, and they add what they want to trade for it and that stuff.
Yeah.
Bunch of stuff is blocked. All the seasonal event stuff, it's like the Christmas and Halloween stuff, is not available for that. All of the DLC items that came with the different DLC packs are not tradable. And anything that's common rank, so it's like very basic items, those are not. But I believe everything else is. You can even trade the stuff from the crates. Like, it just has a... you can't trade it for the first, like, 6 days.
Okay.
So it'll just throw a timer on there. It's like, you can trade this in 5 hours and 20... Or 5 days, 20 hours, etc. Some of the cool stuff they do is more customization options. Allow you to actually set presets. It's like loadouts of cars that you can do up to 10 of them. So you can start building up your different, like, themed cars and make it a lot easier just to swap in and out this stuff instead of just having to rebuild the whole car. Essentially just pick all the different options. That is a good thing to have because the game is about making pretty looking cars, like pretty good looking layouts and such.
Yeah.
And this makes it a lot easier to sort of have these saved loadouts. I have like the Batmobile, the Back to the Future car, and the Sweet Tooth van is sort of semi-preset, so I can just more easily pull them out. You can give them names and all that. You're able to set items to specific team colors. So there's obviously the blue team and the orange team. You can change the look of your car based on which team you're on.
Okay.
For each of those presets, so you can even have stuff customized to that degree, which is pretty cool. In private matches, you can have team names. So I'm guessing this is more to make it like the RLCS stuff.
Yeah.
Where you can sort of be able to do your own tournaments more easily, which is pretty good to have.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much most of it. They updated some of the rocket trails just to make them look a little bit better. Which is good. I just don't know which ones they are anymore. So I'll just start blending in.
Yeah. Just starts being a just chaotic mass of particle effects.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And that's pretty much it.
Cool. Yeah, they're really like taking that game seriously and really supporting the hell out of it because.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't think they really expected to have the kind of success that they did.
No.
Yeah. It's like.
Yeah, they've decided to go all in on that now that there's a ton of people that are playing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I saw the total players count was up to about 187,000.
Oof.
When I was, and about a third of that was just in the Rumble mode.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of people playing.
That's a lot of concurrent players. Yeah. All right. So if you've been in the games business for any amount of time, probably remember Interplay.
Oh, yeah. They were pretty much...
They were a big deal back then.
Back in the mid to late 90s, yeah.
When platformers were big, they were big.
When platformers were big, when computer RPGs were still in their isometric stage.
Yeah. Well, their IP catalog is up for sale now. Up for grabs is Descent and Free Space. Battle Chess is up for grabs. Earthworm Jim, which has kind of been sitting in limbo for a while.
Yeah.
And MDK, which I'm kind of thrilled about.
And Clay Fighter, everybody's favorite fighting game franchise.
Yeah, Clay Fighter.
Maybe with Killer Instinct success, we'll actually give that a shot.
Yeah, you could probably do a good game out of Clay Fighter if you give it to the right people.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot of potential there for all those IPs to come back. It's just, I wonder who's going to pick them up.
Yeah,
maybe THQ will raid this thing like they did THQ's.
yeah, Nordic.
So then like,
then there'll be Interplay Nordic. I don't know. They'll probably do that again.
So like, Earthworm Jim in particular is definitely a franchise that I think could come back in a big way.
Yeah, the resurgence kinda, of platformers now. I think it's definitely ripe for.
But there are a couple of caveats that I would have, though. The first one being that don't make if you're gonna bring the series back, don't make it a 3D platformer.
No,
make it a 2D platformer because
I think they learned their lesson with that one.
Seems like a good property that WayForward would get hired onto.
Yeah.
Or, you know, something like that.
WayForward, Renegade Kid, something like that.
Yeah. And you're going to need to get, like, the old art team back on it, get, you know, Doug Ten Apple and those guys back on it.
Yeah, if you're going to do it right, you got to get Tommy Tallarico to do the music.
Yeah.
There's no... that just has to happen.
Yeah. And... So Tommy has to do that. And if you... And the other thing is you can't go too deep into the story because part of the fun of Earthworm Jim was just how utterly random it was.
Yes.
and completely nonsensical.
Yeah.
It's like, so I'm like on a junkyard planet and then I'm in hell. What the world just happened?
Yeah.
And there
and now I'm underwater. And now I'm a blind salamander floating underground. What the hell?
And now I'm bungee jumping off of a snot. What?
Fighting snot person. Now I'm in a game show. What
just happened?
Yeah. Suddenly there's an old woman trying to kill me with a giant cow. I did.
Yeah. It's best that we don't overthink it because... Yeah, those roads lead to bad things.
Yeah,
it's like a lot of platformers are just like random stages for whatever the hell reason.
Yeah,
just because it could.
Yeah. In this case, the randomness just worked because it was always that from level to level, you were like, "What the fuck just happened?"
Well, I mean, it's fairly well known that Doug Ten Apple basically sketched out all the main characters while he was waiting in the lobby before he got to talk with the bigwigs.
Yeah.
So, I mean, randomness and sort of flying by the seat of your pants kind of works for this franchise.
Yeah. So, yeah. I hope it gets picked up because I want to see this.
Yeah, and as for MDK, MDK could definitely work. The only thing is they really freaking need to update the control scheme.
Yeah.
Because MDK and MDK2's controls were ass.
Yeah, well, they came out of the time when the PS4, PlayStation 1 didn't even have a DualShock yet.
Nope.
So.
It always seemed like a darker, brooding series, like you saw a lot in the 90s, late 90s.
Yeah, it looks like that in the surface, but...
It gets really funny very, very fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got that dark humor, and it's definitely worth playing.
Also, one of the weirdest freaking endings you will ever encounter in a game.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah. If you want to play the version that actually has good controls, get the PC version.
Yeah.
Because, yeah. That one works a lot better with the mouse and keyboard. So let's hope that good people buy these IPs and make good games out of them and not let them sit around like some companies do.
Here comes Konami. To ruin everything.
Just no. Although lately, given what Konami's trying to do, maybe they'll get themselves back together. I don't know.
No, they got all Hudson's licenses. They're not doing anything with. They don't need more.
Yeah. It's
cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, all right, moving on. We talked about the NESBox emulator.
We're all wanting to get one.
Yeah, we're all wanting it. It passed certification, and then it didn't.
Nope.
So, yeah.
Back to the drawing board.
Yeah. Basically, it amounts to the fact that Microsoft just doesn't want that emulator on the Xbox One platform.
Yeah, they don't care about Xbox or PC or whatever Windows phones are left.
Yeah.
They don't care. It's just not the one where they would probably get a letter from Nintendo.
Yeah, it's like the difference between a Windows phone and you know, the PC and stuff is like those are open platforms. Pretty much anything goes. It's kind of the Wild West there.
Uh-huh.
And that
Xbox One really is, you know, a closed platform. So...
Mm.
Yeah. So we're not going to see that unless there's enough of a backlash that, yeah, it starts, it raises some eyebrows over there. I'm not sure that's going to happen, but.
Don't hold your breath.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see it.
Yeah. Yeah. Meanwhile, Bethesda is complaining about Sony, saying that the reason that the Fallout 4 and Skyrim mods are not going to be on the PS4 is because Sony doesn't want them.
This seemed kind of like a political move, like they wanted to get the fans riled up to pressure Sony into overriding whatever decision was made.
No, it's I think it's worked.
Yeah.
People are kind of upset, especially, you know, given that the PS4 right now is the number one platform.
Yeah.
And you can't get mods on it. Yeah. And of course, you know, Microsoft jumps in and saying, hey, look at this is, you should get them on the Xbox One because our platform's super open.
Mod support, just... check.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Even though we just denied that emulator.
Yeah.
It's not that open.
They were awfully excited, their social team was, to be able to check some boxes.
Yeah.
Them and Major Nelson.
Yeah. So, yeah, part of me thinks that the reason that the that Sony doesn't want to do this is because it's hard.
I think it's partially also just they know it's going to kill performance.
On hardware that's actually more powerful than the Xbox One.
Yep.
Well, I mean, it's in general, like that game didn't run very well at times. Then you're going to allow people to pile on more of these mods.
Yeah.
Just make it even worse, potentially just crash the system.
Yeah.
I'm not sure they're... I wouldn't be surprised if that was their whole idea, was your game doesn't run as well as it is. We need you to maybe figure out a way to maybe make this a little bit better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we're okay with them releasing that game in that state and then say it's okay if you fix it over the next 6 months.
Hmm.
And just like, okay, we'll let you break it again.
You know, let's, you know, it's just, you know, taking away the choice from people to break it.
It'd be cool to see it.
Yeah. I would like Randy Macho Man Savage in my Skyrim Special Edition.
Yes.
You know. Yeah.
I would like to have Thomas the Tank Engine in my nightmares forever and ever.
Yeah. Yeah, so, well, we'll keep following this one because I got a feeling we haven't heard the last of this.
Nope.
Yeah, I imagine it will happen.
Yeah. Once, you know, Bethesda actually manages to get the PS4 version to run properly.
Yeah, they say they've got it ready to go, just been denied. It's like, I don't know, I've heard that before with other stuff.
Yeah, I have.
We heard that the cross-network play was just ready to go.
Yeah, it's...
just waiting.
Yep,
not it's bad. Not like there's other things going on at the same time.
Yeah.
It might be a little bit bigger than what the one person telling you their side of the story actually is.
Yeah, there's probably a lot going on there with, you know, a lot of it is probably infrastructure too.
Yeah.
You know, because it's got to be delivered over PSN and, yeah.
I think it's going through Bethesda's stuff.
Yeah, the Xbox One is going through Bethesda, but, yeah, I'm sure they could probably manage it. I mean, they've got Elder Scrolls Online. That doesn't really
go
through PSN. Mm. So, yeah, well, we will wait and see.
I know there's no problem with mods as a general thing, because I believe the new farming simulator is going to have mods.
Yeah.
On both consoles, so.
Yeah, I think it's just, you know, it's probably just the fact that Fallout 4 is kind of broken. I think you're probably right about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I know the Far Harbor released and people were complaining about issues that came back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that. Mm. So I don't know. We'll keep an eye on this.
Yep. Yeah. We got some more Sony news. Coming up, we got TGS.
Mm-hmm.
Sony's going to be streaming their keynote in English. Not the first time they've done this.
Nope.
I'll point out. They usually, last year they didn't, but the year before that, I believe they did have an English stream. So, yeah, if they're going to be doing an English stream, it probably means that there's going to be stuff there that will be relevant to the North American market.
Yep.
Or at least the European market, because that's closer.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we'll wait and see. They're going to tune into that stream and see what they've got to say. No doubt it'll just be live interpretations, so, you know, it'll probably be done in Japanese and be an interpreter over the top.
And we'll see how the new Destiny thing is advertised in Japan.
Yeah, I'm not sure Destiny's really that successful over there.
I think it's actually surprisingly successful, just not huge, since there's not that big of a first-person shooter market over there.
Yeah, and also the PS4 isn't quite as successful over there as Sony probably would have liked.
Yeah.
Which is a shame, really.
Yeah, like people should just keep their expectations low.
Yeah. And then you'll always be pleasantly surprised.
Mm-hmm.
Good advice for life.
Yeah, just don't expect anything. You always have surprises.
Yeah.
And if nothing happens, you weren't expecting anything.
Nope. Yeah. Yep. And then you won't be disappointed.
This confirms your suspicion that life is torture.
Yep.
That would have helped for
existence is pain.
Yeah, that would help for another press conference that just recently happened. Yeah. People are like, they're going to announce new games.
Nope.
No, they're not.
It's hardware. It's not going to be games.
Yeah, it's going to be about 15 or 20 minutes of Mark Cerny whispering.
Which is good.
What was going on there?
Okay. That's just his style of talking.
Yeah. But yeah, all of them do that. Like, Tim Cook comes out and he does that. And it's like, yeah, it's like.
It'll lull you into a false sense of security.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to want to pay $160 for these headphones.
Yeah. So, yeah, moving on. Quick bit of news for those of you who are looking forward to Persona 5, which is Brandon and Patrick, but he's not here.
Yep.
Chris, maybe? Anyways. Yep. Persona 5, 39 on of 40 at Famitsu.
Yeah.
That's a good score.
That is not only a good score, that is a pretty big deal, because Famitsu's been around since the mid-80s, and in that entire time, there's only been about 20-so games that have ever gotten a perfect score, and about 40 games that have ever gotten a near-perfect score.
Yeah.
So they don't hand those out, you know, often.
Yeah.
You gotta pay good money for that.
Well, yeah, and if they have to pay good money, that's going to be pretty expensive, because it's a multi-person review panel over there.
Yeah, four people.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so apparently Persona 5 is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I kind of figured, but now we just have to wait until next year.
Yeah. Valentine's Day is when it's coming out, which is somewhat
appropriate. Because they want to be cute about it.
Yeah.
Well, I got my special edition ordered.
Yeah.
I don't even know what's in it. I can't remember anymore.
It's like, hey, it's a special edition. I'm going to order it. So, yeah. I'm going to drop the Evo story, because I have no idea what's going on there. Yeah. New Xbox One preview update came out for those in the preview program.
Yep.
It adds looking for game and clubs, which is basically kind of like, you know, the communities and stuff that's on the
PS4. I set up a community for or a club for our Smash Pad.
Yeah.
And it actually kind of works just like the community stuff on PS4. It's a little bit weirder.
Yeah.
Because you have to request an invitation. Then they invite you to join, then you can join.
That's weird.
Yeah, it's weird, but the LFG stuff is built into those clubs. Okay. So sort of like how it is on PS4, you can see like people are playing this game, so you can join them there, that sort of stuff.
I kind of like having, you know, like specific groups of people that you can just quickly check in on.
Yeah.
So that's what I think is valuable about the communities and, well, these clubs as well. Yeah.
The one problem is they make it really hard to find the clubs.
Yeah.
It's hidden away in that community section.
Yeah.
There's like a little tiny box that says clubs on Xbox.
Yeah.
And then you go to that and it's like, here's what you've been playing. Here are clubs kind of attached to that.
Yeah.
So when you set up a club, you set up like games attached to it.
Okay.
So I set up a couple of things, and I put Yaris on there. Because it goes all the way back to what you've played on Xbox 360. Wow. So I was like, I'll put Yaris on here. Can't play that anymore, but hey.
Well, backwards compatibility. Hey,
I wanted to put 1 vs 100 on there, but I couldn't find it.
I really wish they'd bring some of that stuff back, because that was actually really fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I liked I liked when they put the beacon stuff on Xbox 360. And it's like, looking to play a 1 vs 100. No, you can't.
You can't ever do that. But yeah, keep in mind, this is also, you know, preview and first implementation, so
yeah,
it's still going to be pretty rough.
It would be nice if they showed you clubs that your friends were in, so you just say, okay, I'm going to join this one and join this other one. So it's a lot easier, but you have to search.
Yeah.
Which actually works pretty well because it searches through actual names. So like you start typing and it'll start whittling away down to the thing that you're looking for. So it actually works pretty well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, if you're not in the preview program, you'll probably see this this in the fall update.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be a while. Probably November. Mm-hmm. They're not doing monthly updates anymore. They're just kind of doing it every quarter, I think, now.
Yeah.
Which is good, because, those Xbox One updates take a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
One of those things where you're like, okay, I'll just put it on before I go to bed and let it update through the night.
Yeah, I did that once. Woke up and my Xbox One had gotten stuck at the green screen.
Yep.
I was not amused.
No.
Was not amused at all. So that was irritating.
You gotta watch it.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to wait for it to get stuck at 75%.
Mm-hmm.
And then after about 4 or 5 minutes, it will keep going.
Yeah.
In theory. So, yeah. Moving on, some interesting news. Warcraft Adventure was a game that was being developed by Blizzard, and I believe...
way back in the late 90s.
Yeah, yeah.
It was also being co-developed by none other than the infamous Animation Magic.
Oh, yes, I remember
the people
that.
Behind the infamous CDI Zelda games.
Yeah, so, yeah. The playable version of that has actually surfaced.
Yeah, a Russian hacker at some point managed to get a hold of it and uploaded it.
Yeah.
It's been kind of going in and out all day because I'm guessing Blizzard apparently got word of it and now... well...
playing copyright footsie.
Yeah. But the thing is, it's been online enough now that other people already have it and they've started...
putting YouTube videos up.
And uploading it elsewhere.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's out there. Now, keep in mind, this game was technically never finished. It was mostly finished.
Yeah.
So if you do manage to get a hold of it and play it, don't necessarily expect it to, you know, be complete.
Nope.
But it's pretty... I mean, the opening cinematic is worth it alone, especially if you've ever seen it on YouTube. Because, like I said, this is the Animation Magic, people.
Yeah. But basically, though, after, like, looking at it, I can clearly see why Blizzard canned it.
Yeah.
So it's not, yeah. It's a nice piece of history,
mm-hmm.
but, yeah, they probably were right to cancel this one.
Yeah, I can tell it was made by the people that made the Zelda CDI games.
Yeah, because it looks awful.
Yeah. For the record, the whole story of this game is sort of how, if you're a Warcraft person, you probably know Thrall, because that's who you actually play as. Yeah. And it's basically how he learned his, how his people became sort of under the rulers of the Demon Realm and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Basically, his people are enslaved.
Yeah,
by the Alliance.
The Warcraft lore is there. There's a lot of... it's like the writing was might have been good.
Yeah.
But it's just a question of
Well, Chris Metzen was actually working on it, so.
Yeah, so there was stuff there. But yeah, we didn't get it, and, well, now you can get your Warcraft lore and World of Warcraft.
Mm-hmm.
All of it. And several novels.
And comic books.
And comic books. Hmm.
And a movie.
And a movie.
Yeah. And a movie.
Which actually isn't bad.
For what it is, no.
Yeah. Could have been worse.
They actually had a... Turns out the female orcs actually do look like female orcs.
Yeah. Strange.
And what? Not just, you know, Zoe Saldana wearing skin paint.
Yeah. So yeah, if you can find a copy of this, check it out. It's a good little time capsule. And yeah.
Don't expect perfection.
No, don't expect
perfection. Keep your expectations low.
Especially when animation magic is involved. You really should not expect perfection ever. Fortunately, they no longer exist.
Nope, they disappeared.
Yeah.
Closed up shop in, I think it was the late 90s.
Yeah. So
back
finally,
into the fires of hell from whence they were spawned.
Yeah. And finally, we got
in other words, Russia.
Yeah. So we got to talk about the PlayStation 4 Pro.
Yep.
Sony announced that on Wednesday, coming out November 10th for $399, which is the same price that the PS4 originally launched at.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Not that big of a surprise there. $100 price difference between the PS4 Slim and the PS4 Pro.
Yeah, I think that was the pricing tiers we were kind of expecting going into this.
Yeah. Although, you know, for the $100 price difference, if you're somebody who's looking for a PS4,
mm-hmm.
and you can afford the extra $100, there's really no reason you should go for the Slim.
No.
Yeah, and that's probably what I think Sony's hoping for. Because, the specs are pretty much exactly what we expected. It's about a 2.5 times GPU boost for the console. A little bit of a CPU bump, nothing huge.
Nope.
But it will do HDR and can do 4K gaming, although it doesn't do all of that natively.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mark Cerny made sure to mention they were doing some special stuff to get it to 4K.
Yeah, they do some very special checkerboard upsampling, which actually, if you're sitting about 10 feet away, you're probably really not going to notice. It's going to look fine.
No.
It's apparently baked into the system, so it's don't really need much resources to actually do it.
Yeah. Yeah. So we also saw some pretty good demos there. We saw some new footage of Horizon Zero Dawn. We saw some actual gameplay footage of Mass Effect Andromeda.
And it looks great. Game.
Oh, it looks good.
Yes, it looks very good. I'm just glad to see that, you know, this is actually existing.
Yeah, it's a real thing.
And for the record, they're going to, just for the record, BioWare is going to have a brand new trailer out on November 7th,
mm-hmm.
you know, N7.
Yeah.
And when that comes out, that's when they're going to start opening up and showing us, you know, more actual content.
Yeah.
So characters, more assets, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Probably more gameplay videos.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we know right now as far as story stuff is that you can play either the brother or the sister
yep.
of the Ryder family.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they spent a lot of time talking about HDR.
Which is really hard to show on a stream.
It's impossible. 4K. It's really impossible to actually show because nobody watching on the stream has a monitor that can display it.
Then it's a stream.
Yeah.
So it's automatically diminished that way.
Yeah, so... Mm-hmm.
But from what I heard from the Giant Bomb people that were there, Vinny and Alex, they were saying they were doing a 4K on the projection that you saw behind the presenters.
Yeah.
And for HDR, since there's no HDR projectors, they had TVs on the sides for people to see the HDR stuff.
Yeah.
So it's like this weird mishmash of this stuff is kind of ahead of the actual display technology.
Yeah.
And there's no 4K capture equipment, as well as HDR, I don't think, at the moment.
Yeah. Well, no, so HDR capture.
All this weird conglomeration of stuff that means you have to kind of go to a Best Buy or a Target or a Walmart to actually see this stuff in action.
Yeah. But, yeah. It also won't have any 4K Blu-ray support, which is weird, considering it's a format that Sony kind of co-developed. You'd think they'd put that in there, but...
I imagine they're thinking we need to get this at $399, not compromise on the specs we want.
Yeah.
And if they can push something aside, it's the 4K Blu-ray, since that's just barely getting started right now.
Yeah.
I think I looked up on Best Buy, and it's like $89 4K Blu-rays.
Yeah.
And a couple of those are duplicates of, like, here's our special Steelbox.
Yeah.
So, there's like 15,000 Blu-rays, and none of these 4K ones. Like, I can see why they kind of push that that aside.
Yeah,
they can get it next time they do a new console.
And again, Microsoft was right up there.
Yep, we got 4K Blu-ray.
Yep, got that.
You know, there's not much to watch.
Nothing on.
Unless you want to pay $25 and up for everything.
Yeah. Yep.
So, yeah, I think it would have been nice if they got the 4K Blu-ray in there, because it could have been a PS3 situation where they just include the Blu-ray and it just kind of becomes the de facto standard.
Mm-hmm.
But
it
also probably would have been good if they had included it, because 4K Blu-rays will actually hold more, so they could have used that extra storage for games. But
I don't think they wanted to jump into that gun either.
Yeah. So, oh well.
I think they're concerned about price, whereas Microsoft would just say, fuck it, we'll put everything in.
Yeah.
We'll take all the money.
Yeah. So, yeah. But they will have 4K streaming over Netflix and all the other stuff. So.
And they're actually improving a lot of the streaming and capture stuff on the system itself.
Yeah.
1080p streaming, if your bandwidth can actually handle that.
Mm-hmm.
1080 capture as well.
Yeah.
As well as 1080p remote play streaming to PC. Somebody's phone's going off. As well as you're going to be able to take 4K screenshots as well. So you can share all that stuff for the few people that actually can do that stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
So making good use of that part of the system.
Yeah. So another thing they also mentioned was they're going to be patching existing PS4 games to work with the Pro.
Yeah, they got a bunch already announced.
Yeah, a bunch.
The Witness is on there, Shadow of Mordor, Mankind Divided, Last of Us Remastered, which I heard was getting a bump to native 4K, which might actually work since that's obviously a PS3 game.
Yeah.
So that might not have to... do as much hard work as the rest of these games, like Uncharted 4, Infamous First Light, The Witness is also up there. There's a good post on Jonathan Blow's site, or The Witness site, I forget which one, sort of explaining a bunch of the stuff that he's going to be adding, bumping up the game to at least native 1080p for the regular people. So that's good.
Yeah, that's going to be one of the things that developers will have the choice to do, is they can implement the extra power in pretty much any way they want.
Yep.
And give them some,
I think everything at least gets bumped up to 1080p.
Yeah. Yeah. With
what else they want to do is up to them.
Yeah. So that's going to be good.
Seems like they might actually have settings that'll be available for these games, so you can do 1080p and sort of whatever comes up with that. Or do 4K at 60, whatever they're doing.
Yeah.
Or 4K with HDR, 4K 30, whatever the developers want to set up.
Yeah.
So that's cool that's something that people have been wanting. More hardcore people have been wanting, like, options. I think The Last of Us is supposed to still stay at, or Uncharted is supposed to stay at 30, even though they're going to bump it up. So not going to get 60 and everything.
No.
Which is not a surprise.
Yeah. Andrew House was basically saying that the PS4 Pro is kind of geared towards people who might be thinking of moving to Windows PC to do their gaming. Yeah, I'm not entirely sure who knows what audience he's going after.
Maybe the fringe people that were thinking that.
Yeah, because even with that, you know, GPU bump, it's still, you know, a low-end current generation card.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's not a huge bump. If people are really serious about getting into the PC gaming, they're probably going to be doing it to get, you know, much better quality than they can with the console.
Yeah.
So, we'll wait and see, but it's pretty cool. I know that if they did a 60 frames per second 1080p patch for Drive Club, that's, you know, job done. I'm buying that system.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as that gets announced.
I don't know if there's anybody working on that game anymore.
No, I wonder what happened there.
Yeah, we got the new VR game that's going to at least do 60. So that's where that is.
Yeah. Yeah. But along with all of that, they also announced the PS4 version 4.0 firmware, which is coming out next week.
This week.
This week. Well, this week is next week. Next week is this week. Yeah, this week.
What was next week? Last week is this week. This week.
Right. So that's
and
coming
this week
out.
Is next week, and next week is this week.
Yeah.
Red fish, blue fish, big fish, small fish. We can't live in a world of chaos.
So we got that coming out with which brings HDR support to all PS4s.
Yeah.
I find this kind of fascinating that they could actually update that in firmware.
Yeah, they say it's doesn't really bump anything hardware-wise, doesn't really change much as far as resources the games need.
Nope.
No, it just means that their controller was their HDMI controller was firmware upgradable, which is kind of a good foresight on their part.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of their design of the PS4 was hopefully to make it more flexible for the future.
Yeah, but this is actually a pretty big deal because of all of the features that the PS4 Pro will bring, HDR is really the one that you will really notice most.
Yeah, because that causes the contrast of the colors to really pop, and as well as the colors themselves.
Yeah.
Be able to actually do a lot more colors and get less of that banding stuff that you see.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
And also be able to get, like, you know, nice night scenes with very, very sharp, bright areas.
Yeah.
They won't blow out all the other colors around it. Yeah. Nope. It's going to be very, very nice to see how they implement it. If they'll even do any patches of current games to implement it. That's the...
Yeah, I think The Witness is already announced for that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, The Witness could make some actually very good use out of it.
Yeah, the shame is there's not really any dark points in that game.
No.
Not until you go underground or something like that.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's sunny for the many hours you're actually on the island.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, given that if you're going to be buying a new TV at some point, even if you don't want to get a 4K TV, like you can get 1080p TVs that will support HDR.
Mm-hmm.
They actually have those?
Oh, yeah, they have them.
Okay.
Yeah, so you can get those.
Yeah, I think it's been a weird feature that's been in a lot of TVs, but now they finally like ratified, like, oh, it's HDR10 is the one that everybody needs to be doing.
Yeah, yeah, HDR10 is basically the standard that's been ratified, but, you know, there are other ones. I think that's the one that's going to really take off now that pretty much everybody is supporting it. Microsoft is supporting it. Sony's supporting it. So, yeah, I'm kind of probably going to be looking at a new TV next year, so I'll be looking at one with HDR.
Yeah, I got a PS4 Pro pre-ordered for at least the benefits of it's going to upgrade the games for now.
Yeah.
Then I'll get a 4K TV with HDR, and it'll go even further.
Yeah. You'll also have PSVR, which will see some benefit from the PS4 Pro as well.
Yeah. So people are kind of mistakenly saying, oh, it's going to improve the frame rate. It's like, it's not really going to do that.
Well, it
already has to be stable as it is. 60 mm-hmm. or 90.
Well, it's 40, 45 or 90 is what they're going for. You can't do 60 to 90 is not a good multiple.
No, nope. I think that's what they're saying, because they got the rare projection stuff that is supposed to be able to handle that.
Yeah.
As far as what I've read, but.
But yeah, with the extra power, they could get, you know, native 90 frames per second, or they could also do, you know, more details and bring it down to 45.
Yeah, still, though, it's not going to change, make it from, like, fucked up frame rate to stable. That sort of thing that people were probably thinking.
Hmm.
It's like, no, it's going
to
be
fine. If your game runs like crap, it's not going to really help to not make your game run like crap.
And then so make people just sick and all that.
Yeah.
It's like, that's like the number one thing. Sony said they're going to deny release for games that are doing that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if your game's frame rate stutters, yeah, don't expect to.
I'll say, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, so
just help games looking actually look better. They showed a Far Point, and that looks better.
Look, a little bit.
That game's kind of weird.
Before.
Yeah.
Mm.
They didn't seem to be going too ambitious on the environments.
No.
I just like seeing that jittery gun.
Yeah.
That's how you know it's real.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, they also did show a little bit of Call of Duty Infinite Warfare during that whole presentation.
Modern Warfare Remastered would get support for the PS4 Pro.
Yep.
As well as Black Ops 3. It's going to get an update.
And some people will probably care about that.
Yep.
Mm. All in all, though, it doesn't seem like a bad console.
No. Just seems like one that is harder to tell people why it matters. Unless you already know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, you know, you're looking at $299 to $399. That's the difference of a couple of games.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah, if you're the kind of person that doesn't actually really tell the difference between stable and unstable frame rates, or 720 and 1080 or higher, that sort of thing, you're probably okay with the $299.
Yeah.
Mm. Maybe getting whatever the next console is in a few years.
Mm.
Just like having more of a generational thing right there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty clear to me that this PS4 Pro was in the works for quite a while.
Yeah.
Because the technology that it's coming out with is already starting to be eclipsed. So, yeah. At least, you know, it will give the PS4 a little bit of a bump and, you know, help keep it relevant for a little bit longer.
Yeah, it'll be good for the sort of economical gaming they're trying to go for.
Yeah.
Rather than what Microsoft is doing. So they made sure to brag all about it. Like, we're going to do 6 teraflops. You know, nobody knows what that means.
Yeah, 6 teraflops. Yeah, true. I should point out the PS4 Pro is 4. It's not
4.2 something.
Yeah, 4.2-ish. It could be a little bit more when it actually comes out. It could actually overclock it a little bit in firmware. So, depends on how comfortable Sony is with the heat output of it. They could probably get 5 out of it without too much trouble.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And Microsoft keeps going on, we're going to do VR, native 4K gaming. It's like, I hope so for that specs you've been thrown out.
Yeah.
And the weird terms they use, like, bigger pixels. Like, they use that at the end of the Xbox press conference at E3. It's like,
bigger pixels.
Yeah, it's like, what?
No, you don't want bigger pixels.
It's like the same weird stuff they used when they were talking about announcing the Xbox One.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. It's like, it's got billions of transistors. Nobody knows what that means. That doesn't mean anything to anybody.
Yeah. Nope. Well, at least they didn't spend 30 minutes talking about TV, so.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, it was probably an uneventful press conference if people were expecting like an E3 thing, which that was not a good thing to expect.
No.
It was, hey, we got this new hardware. We're going to show you video and talk all about why this is better than the other one.
Yeah. Well, now that it's announced, I think we'll probably see PS4 like Pro optimized games announced at TGS. Probably see some of that there.
Yeah, so I think the PlayStation.com has like a little icon they're going to start putting up on the PlayStation Store for games that are getting upgraded.
Yeah.
Mm. And, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what Microsoft, if they're going to be able to come in at 400.
I don't think they will. I think they'll probably end up at 5 again.
Yeah, that seems like what that's going to happen there. Because I don't know how you do the sort of specs capable of doing at least close to native 4K gaming and come in cheap.
Yeah. Well, then again, you know, there's still at least a year between, you know, PS4 Pro and whatever Scorpio is ends up being called. So in a year, those prices can drop.
So. Yeah, but I don't know how much that is going to drop.
We shall wait and see. It'll be interesting to see what the what the Xbox Scorpio actually ends up looking like.
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure a GPU like that will probably kick up a lot of heat.
More holes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, even more holes.
Just a mesh console.
Yeah. Swiss cheese dust collector is what it will be. So, yeah. Chris, you pre-ordered one. Maybe I will pick one up at some point. I don't know.
Yeah.
I can't really justify it. Honestly, I don't have a TV that's going to really take any good advantage of it.
Yeah.
So it doesn't make much sense.
Yeah, I've got at least the VR stuff coming, so I know that'll improve that a bit.
Yeah.
It's like I got the... Technically, I have a display that will actually work with it.
Yeah.
Work with it well.
Yeah.
Or, yeah. Hmm. I guess Pat passed out.
Yeah.
Showed up at the end of the show, so it's too late for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, so that's going to be it for the show this week, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, with that, I'm Flippin' Adolfo.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
And I'm Chris Sologi.
And see you next week.